But just turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 13 to 20. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verse 13 to 20. Are you there? Come on, say amen when you're there. Praise the Lord. You'll find it on page 1300. If you've got the same Bible as me, that is. Amen. Praise God. And the word of God reads, "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. In other words, it is not brought to maturity. Verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the matchless, wonderful, beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank you. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for that which has been accomplished, Lord, deposited, Heavenly Father, and is operative in our lives already. We thank you, Lord, that you've made clear to us that it's our responsibility, Father God, to work out that which is to take place in and through our lives, and Father, with fear and trembling. As we're gathered here around your words, we pray and we thank you, Lord, for the presence, your very presence of the Holy Spirit. May our hearts be sensitive, our minds be open to be influenced right upon the flesh of our hearts. May we be quickened and convicted and persuaded and convinced of your will, of your voice speaking personally and intimately to us. And may we take your word and internalize it, make it applicable to our lives, Father God, therefore being a generation of men and women who build on rock instead of sand. Father, just have your way, we pray. This day, superintend all that takes place from here on in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Praise the Lord. Look to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you can take care of your seed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and be seen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And what a blessed time here today. Just want to let you know, we might not be here much longer. We've just signed our half of the contracts for the new property in Baker's Arms. So we're just letting the solicitors and the lawyers and, you know, things go back and forth, just take place. But we're projecting for the 1st of June. We want to complete things and finish by the 1st of June. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Clap, get merry, because that's when we're working for them. Amen. Where we're going to be taking, we'll do some work, and we'll be taking the gospel, amen, to a community. We'll be planted in and amongst people, rather than be just still here in amongst the housing estate. It would be more easy for us to just connect with people, preach the gospel, be there for people. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless people, pray for people, meet people, tell people about Jesus, revisit people, connect with people again, tell them about Jesus, make up. We'll be able to point and say, we're right there if you need us. Come on, somebody. Are you getting excited? Amen. For the church. Come, even though the church needs, the kingdom needs to be operated outside. Amen. And we've waited for a long time, so that time is getting shorter now. Praise the Lord. It is upon us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, it's at hand. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Praise the Lord. Now, today we just read a word that's known as a parable. And Jesus spoke many, many, many things in parables. In fact, at one point in the Bible, I believe it's in Mark chapter 4, Mark makes note that from that time on, Jesus only spoke in parables. He didn't initially start off that way. Sometimes he would start off teaching. But after a certain time, he only spoke to his disciples in parable. Now, a parable, the word parable literally means something cast alongside. Somebody say alongside. So effectively, what Jesus would want to teach is truth, but he would tell a story, amen, tell a story and made sure that the story was alongside this truth. That's why we get the word parallel from, something that is like side by side. Like a train tracks are known as parallels. They run straight along in the same direction. They say it's parallel. And that's where we get the word parable from too. Effectively, we know a parable to be a story that has a spiritual meaning or impact or spiritual truth. Somebody say parable. And we know that Jesus heavily relied on parables. And here, this parable that we read was known as the parable of the sower. In fact, he had told the parable a few verses previously. And the portion that we have read is when he was explaining what the parable is. And effectively, it's about seed or the word of God. I believe it's in Luke chapter 8. Amen. Luke ascribes the seed that Jesus is talking about to be actually the word of God. Somebody say the word of God. Now, the word of God could be the promise of God, the prophecy of God, direction from God, hope from God. It could be correction from God. Ultimately, though, that seed that he's talking about is salvation. Amen. It is coming to know Christ. It is coming to God, being reconciled, reconnected, aligned. Amen. Having our past forgiven and wiped out and being born again and becoming believers in Christ. Also, it is about growing and maturing in our faith. The Bible says that we ought to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody said, we got to grow. Praise the Lord. That's what happens with seeds. Seeds are meant to grow. Amen. When God touches your life, effectively you become a seed. I said, when God touches your life, you become a seed. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You become a seed. You become a divine entity with the potential to be planted and to grow and to mature. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, you're a seed. Even Jesus likened himself to be a seed. He likened his very life, his very existence. Imagine if you and I began to look in the mirror and stop seeing that pretty little handsome so-and-so, that, you know, that sweet little so-and-so, and looked at yourself like a seed. Looked at yourself as something to be planted, and looked at yourself as someone that can grow and mature and change and transform. Come on, somebody, say seed. John 12, verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, a seed, fall into the ground, fall or break away, say break away, and fall into the ground and die, he said, it will remain alone. It's going to stay the same. And he said, but if it dies, if it breaks away, if this seed can just break away from this tree, this plant, this thing that it's connected to, amen, and break away, fall into the ground and die, he said, then it will bring forth much fruit. It will mature. It will graduate. It will become all what it's meant to become, that seed. I don't even know a seed, inherent within a seed, so much potential, so much things could happen, so much things can take place. Somebody say, I'm a seed. So this is Jesus actually talking about a seed, but in reality, he was talking about his life. He says, hey, Jesus was looking at himself, you know what, I'm a seed. And the disciples were there telling him, you know what, you ain't got to do this, and you ain't got to do that, but how many know, and you're doing good, you're creating miracles, I mean, you are the man of power for the hour. There is no prophet on this land who's moving in the kingdom like you are. You mean, Jesus, you are raising the dead. Jesus, you are unstopping the ears of the deaf. You are loosening the tongue of the mute. You are opening the eyes of the blind. Jesus, man, you ain't got to suffer. You ain't got to do this. But Jesus knew that there was greater potential in his life, and that the place where he was at, God had greater for him. I want to tell you something. God's got greater for you. He's got greater for you. And we can say, yeah, I know God's got greater for me, but unless you and I begin to see that the greater that must take place, then that means we must have a mindset and a mentality of being a seed. He said, you know what? God's got greater for me. I'm doing great things. Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm a mover and a shaker, but you know what? I'm still a seed. Somebody say seed. You see, when you understand what a seed looks like, there are two dynamics to a seed. And how many people know a seed on the outside has got this hard husk? Look at your neighbor. It's got a hard husk. But it's got a little shell. Some say it's a protective shell, or it could be a restrictive shell. But it's got this outer shell, and it's quite tough and it's quite hard. But then there's another part to the seed. On the inside of the seed is this thing that has to germinate, this thing that contains life, this thing that contains potential, and it is known as an embryo. You know, something that can grow, something that needs to be given birth to, something that needs to break out the hardness, this protective shell, which can become a protective shell or even a restrictive shell. But there's an embryo, there's something in there that needs to grow, that God has blessed, that God has touched. Oh, come on, somebody. There's something inside of you that God has touched, that God has blessed, that it has the potential to grow and change and become all what it can be. I'm getting excited in this place. Jesus said, verily, 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 I'm a seed. I'm a seed. He said, that's my life. That's my life. Inside is an embryo. And he was saying, listen, even though I'm at this stage, he looked at his life as, he says, I'm an infant. Woo! I'm still an infant in comparison to my potential. I'm still an infant, he was saying. To a degree where I need to get to, I'm still immature. I haven't attained yet. Oh, come on, someone. I have not yet attained. That's why Paul said, you know what? Not that I have already arrived. The disciples were trying to tell him, you've arrived. But he was saying, no, I ain't arrived yet. I ain't made it yet. There's still more. Oh, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, there's still more. That's why I love the word of God. There's sometimes, there's some old people. Some of us are old. Some of us ain't not so old. Some of us think we're old. Some of us are young, but we feel old. But God says that even no matter how old you are, the Bible says that your latter shall be greater than your former. You know, whether you got, you might have lived 60 years and you've only got 10 years left. God says that last 10 years is going to be much greater than the 60 that you put in. Because God always will do greater. Never ever say you've arrived. Never ever think you've made it. Never ever think that you're done and that you're ready for the scrap heap. Can't even know God does wonderful things with the young. But he does even better. Come on, somebody, with the old. Amen. Because when you're decrepit and broke down and busted and you're 100 years old like Abraham and you're barren like Sarah, you don't have the inner components to reproduce life. That's when God steps in and says, I'm ready to work a new miracle, a fresh miracle. He said, you're the seed of Abraham. Just when they say it can't happen in your life, just when they say, you know what, it's done, finished, and dusted, bam, comes in God. I'm ready to work with the old. How many old people we got in here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Even you young people are old because you're old for people that are younger than you. Praise the Lord. Ain't that right, Shannon? She ain't claiming it. Praise the Lord. Everything in its time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, unless I fall and break away, unless I separate, disassociate. How many people know you've got to break away? A seed has to break away. Oh, Lord, have mercy. From an unhealthy attachment. Mindsets. Mentalities. Woo! How many know you get so attached to something and you get so attached and it becomes common to you. It becomes familiar to you. Even negative things you get attached to. You've never been attached to something that was negative to you. Amen. And then you try to break away from it so that because that thing that you're attached to is holding you back and holding you down. But because you break away, and Jesus said, you don't just break away. You've got to fall into the ground. You've got to die. But sometimes it's hard to die because the thing that you're attached to, there's this little vibes, this little invisible rays to keep pulling you back. So the dying takes place when you have to resist the stimuli that you're coming from. The memories, the feelings, the familiarity. Come on, somebody. Even though you've got to find a strange ground, a new ground, and be in a place that you've never been in before and not go back. Because if you go back and you go back to what's familiar and you fail to experience and step out into the new and stand there in this foreign soil, this foreign territory, this experience and this feeling, Jesus said you will stay the same. He says, you remain alone. There'll be nothing generated. You won't see the potential that was in you. Lord, have mercy. You won't see it. You won't realize it until you step out into the new, this new territory, this new arena, this new feelings, this new behavior, this new actions, this new responses, this they want to change me. How many people like going through changes? Nobody likes going through changes. But if you don't go through changes, guess what happens? You don't change. Oh, praise the Lord. I thought you guys were smarter than that. I said, if you don't go through changes, you don't change. You remain the same. How many of you want to stay the same? How many of you want to change? Hands up. Yeah, you want to grow. You want to become better. Then you got to break away. You got to see yourself. You got to get it into your head that you're a seed. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. You got to break away. How many know we got something? One of the hardest things to break away from is the past. Is the past. I'm going to preach. This is my little foundation. It's the past. You know, throughout this past 2 weeks, let me read the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22. It says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present, or the future. That's the one I focus on. It says, whether the present, somebody say the present, or the future, all are yours. Somebody say the present, or the future, all are yours. What's missing? The past. The present is yours. The future is yours. Woo! But the past is not yours. The only time you or I are supposed to even consider our past is through the lens of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. You or I are never, ever supposed to look back except through the redemptive work of Christ. When you look back, we're supposed to see the great. When we look back at our failures, we've got to do it through the lens of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. You look back at your failures and say, whoa, look how God kept me. Look how God brought me through. You look back at all your failings, your hurt, your pains, your abuses, your ups and downs, the good, the bad. Let me tell you something. Always look back through the redemptive work, the lens of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Because anytime you step out and look into your past that isn't yours because it belongs to God, didn't he remove the past as far as the east is from the west? Didn't he take our sins, our faults and flaws and threw them into the sea of forgetfulness? The past ain't yours. The past belongs to God. And if you're going to look at the past, you need to look through the past. You look at your past through the eyes of God. If somebody hurt you and abused you, you're not. If you look at your past outside of God, you're just going to be filled with regret, filled with hurt. Come on, somebody. Filled with bitterness, filled with unforgiveness. Oh, come on, somebody. Filled with hate. Come on. You're outside of God, your past will destroy you. It will hold you back. It don't belong to you. No matter who hurt you, no matter who done what to you, no matter what you got up to, no matter how good or how bad it is, God has not given you your past. Somebody needs that. You got to get into the practice, man. When the devil wants to rewind, put on your G glasses, not the 3D glasses, your G, the God glasses. Look at your past through Jesus Christ, and things will get better. I guarantee it. Amen. You won't look back and get hurt. You won't look back and get bitter. Come on, somebody. You won't look back and cry. Come on, somebody. You won't look back and... How many people know what I'm talking about? Because you know when we look back without Jesus, Lord have mercy. Somebody gone dead. Yeah? You get angry. Don't you get angry when you look back? And they done this to me and that to me. Or I messed up over here. I could have done better. Oh, geez. When you look at something in the past that you've done real bad outside of God, then you look at it and you put on your G glasses, your God glasses, and look at it. You think you don't say you've done. Well, you say, "Whoa, God saved me from doing even worse." That's a good place to say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That your past, outside of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, it will cripple you. It will debilitate you. It will hold you in suspended animation. You will not develop. You'll just be stuck on stupid, letting the devil just punk you. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, the present's yours. You can do something with today, and you could do even more with tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Can we move on? Hallelujah. In fact, that we could finish right there as it goes. We can finish right there. Because that was a sermon all in itself. Praise, but we're not going to. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave a parable about the seed. And he talks about four different types of soil. Yeah. You know, four different types of soil, you know, dirt, mud, you know, ground, terrain, terrestrial. Oh, I feel like a thesaurus today. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Anyway, yeah, soil, I'm getting carried away now. So he says, the sower, verse 4, he says, the sower sows the word. So here's this word, this promise, this prophecy, this hope, this healing, this deliverance, this salvation, this you know, this power, this grace, this future, this destiny, that God sows these things into our lives. God calls you, he touches your life. You, your very life, you yourself are a seed. The things he wants to do and accomplish in your life is seed. The things he says that he has called you to are seed. It's a word spoken by God, which contains inherent potential to go through a process that will break out, break down, and break through, and you become something. So God sows this seed, and the first type of ground that he begins to explain, what the parable, he says, the verse 3 says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones, the first type of ground is the ones on the wayside where the word is sown. How many people know we can be wayside people? Back in the day, we used to say, you're a waste man. Anyway, praise the Lord. It says, when they hear, how many people know we hear? Oh, we hear, come on, we hear. You know you heard. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, sometimes God will speak to us and we will hear God. I mean, some of us have forgotten what I said before about the past. And somebody's saying right now, what past? That's exactly what I mean. He said, there is a promise. There are things that God can put straight into our hearts, into our spirit. And immediately, it don't even take till you get out the door. Right there in your seat, immediately, bam, it's snatched. Wow. Bam, the healing's gone. Bam, deliverance gone. Bam, the job's gone. Bam, the career. Just gone. The hope's gone. Somebody say immediately. I mean, it don't even see the light of day. Don't even get out the door to see the sunshine. Immediately it could be gone. Tell your neighbor, mine ain't going that quick today. Amen. The dream's gone. The hope. You didn't even get a chance to test it. To say, what do you think about this prophecy? What do you think about what God said to me? You didn't even get a chance to take it home and read over it and pray over it. Because it's, bam, gone. How can something get snatched so quick? How can it get taken out so quick? You know how it gets snatched so quick? As soon as it hits us and it's gone, it's our own reasoning. It's how we reason. Our own thought process, how we reason things. God says something, speaks to us, and immediately we say, nah, nothing happened. That's gone. Praise the Lord. It doesn't even get a chance to take. It's like some bird comes out of the air and just picks it up. Boom. Are you hearing me? Just dismissed. And we use human reasoning to reject the word of God to our lives, the power of God to our lives. Wow. That's heavy. We just kick God out because God don't know what he's doing. He don't know what he's saying. His word is not valued. We value our humanistic thinking. Matthew 16, verse 23, it says here, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God, but of man. And I just said to you that the scripture says that Satan steals it, but yet I said that we're the one who releases it. Satan steals it, but I said to you, we're the one who reason it out. Scripture says Satan steals it, and I said to you, but we're the one who actually rejects it. Jesus tells Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God, but of man. Looks at him, calls him Satan, then talks about man. How many people know when you're getting humanistic thinking, you might as well be thinking like the devil? Praise the Lord. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking on a level with God, but you're thinking like a man. In other words, anytime we're going to reject what God says for our thinking, we might as well have the devil in our minds. You reject God, put man in its place, you're going to be left with the devil once anyway. Come on, somebody say amen. So one thing we need to be people. We want to be careful how we tabulate. We need to involve God. We need to keep God in the mix, man. When you hear something like out of this world, something that your natural man, that natural woman inside you would reject, something that just doesn't fit or align with humanistic thinking, don't worry about it, because the Bible says that God's ways are above our ways. It says his thoughts are above our thoughts. People have it, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no entered into the heart of man. The word of God says what God has in store for them. The Bible says that he is able to do abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask, all that we can verbalize or even think about outside of our minds, man. So when something like that comes and drops in your spirit, man, and it seems impossible, don't reject it. That's a word from God. That's something to be harnessed. That's something to be kept. That's not something to be rejected. That's something to get on, to get that kingdom mentality and start thinking on the level with God. Yeah? Someone tells you God's going to raise you up and God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And God says it's going to be all right over here. You're going to be healed over here. You're going to be blessed over here. That situation, that circumstance is going to be sorted out, but now we reject it. God says, no, you're thinking like a mere human. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm not on the wayside. I'm not on the wayside. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, never type a ground. He says, these likewise are the ones that are sown on stony ground. Oh, hello, somebody. Fierce hard like rock. Some of them, anyway. Stony ground. Not here. Nobody here like that. Praise the Lord. Isn't them hard for us people? Carry on, that's what I'm talking about, man. Hard. Feels hard. Hard, even harder. Anyway. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive. Oh, jeez. I'm giving you that one a few times. Get a word from God. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, immediately they receive it, and they receive it with gladness. Walk out of church. Yeah, man of God prophesied to me today. Hosts are come. Cars coming. Ribs coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessings coming. Money come off. God's going to do this. Receive it. My breakthrough's here. My healing's here. It goes on to say that immediately they receive it with gladness, man. Jump up and down in the people church. Run across the chairs. Fly off the chandeliers and the lights. And then it goes on to say, but they have no root in themselves. And so endure for only for a time. So they got this faith, man. This seed, man. It's landed on them. And they get it. And they're excited that they've got it. Yeah, and they're holding on to it. They even get through the door with it. They even get to Tuesday with it. But when Wednesday reaches, woo! A little bit of trouble, a little bit of trial, little argument. You know, someone cuts them up. Hello. Amen. The lights go off and then the money, the check didn't clear. Something happens. Pastor didn't ring them. Somebody upset them. God didn't come through on time. A note comes through. Something contrary to what they were believing for happens. And the word of God says, because they have no root within them, they let go of it. Wow. Imagine just releasing your blessing, your breakthrough, just because you ain't got no root in you. No fortitude. You haven't engaged and liberated that decisive nature that God has blessed you with. That fight. Matthew 12, I believe it is, where it says, the kingdom of heaven will suffer violence, but the violent take it by force. Imagine God's put something inside of you to just, when he says something, you grab a hold of it. Come rain, snow, flood, fire. You just have this, it's taking neighbor that's in you. 2 Timothy 1:7, the word of God says that God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity. No, God ain't given you a spirit that just backs off. God has not given you a nature that just lets go. God has not given you a nature that just turns tail and run. If you ever notice in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God, there's no armor for your back. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. There's no, you got armor for your head, your chest. Amen. Your waist, your feet. You even got a shield. You got a sword. But nowhere are you or I encouraged to turn tail and run and hide and retreat. Nor retreat, nor surrender. Where does this come from? The devil's a liar. Hallelujah. No retreat. That's right. No surrender. Thank you, Q. No retreat. You're supposed to hang on. Because the Bible says that Jesus said there's some people that ain't got no root within them. Find your root. My gosh. Find the root, man, and hang on for that child, for that household. Come on, find that root. Hang on for that generation. Find it. Fight for them. Don't let go. Yeah, but yeah, that's supposed to come. Tribulation comes. Contradiction comes. Conflict comes. Oh, come on, somebody. But there's a root inside of you. Tell you never make it your mind. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver? How long will you diver? When you're going to make up your mind, man, you're going to fight, you're going to believe, you're not going to believe. You're going to trust God or you're not going to trust God. Come on, you're going to hang on to this root. You're going to hang in there and tough it out. Or how long will you waver between two decisions? How many people know there's no power going to be released to your life until you make that decision? You become, James chapter 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways and will not receive nothing from God. How many know God's waiting for you to make up your mind? Man, you got to give that seed. Don't get that. You got to hang in there so that that outer casing on that seed can get broken open. So the embryo, the thing that's really going to grow, can burst forth. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't let the devil slap you around. Tell your neighbor, be violent. Let me know. It takes a violent death just to live. Check that. You got to violently die and get out your bed and pray so you can live. You got to violently switch off that TV or step out of Facebook for at least 1 hour a day, amen, to study your word so you can live. Come on, you. How many of you know when it comes to giving and tithing and offering, how many of you know there's some wimps in here? We need to see some violent people ripping out your checkbook and say, right, bam, pulling out your cards. You know what? I'm not even doing the touch one, man. I'm putting in more money and violently, boom, 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 boom. Violently give, violently obey God. Too many sissies in the church of God. Can you say amen? Too many soft people, too many wimps. God's given us opportunity to grow. Oh, praise the Lord. I know there's none in this. I know we're violent people, man. We was bad mama jammers out there. Now God saved this man. We brought that violent nature into the church house, ain't we? Yeah, right. You better find it. You better find it because the devil ain't playing. The devil ain't playing. The devil, listen, you think the devil treated us bad out there? Amen. Now that we belong to him, come on, somebody, we become a target. Praise the Lord. Let me say, we were not targets out there. We were in his camp. Come on, somebody. He was never fighting us out there. He just kept us blind. In here, you become a target, a legitimate target. And you better learn how to fight and use the weapons of your warfare. Come on, somebody. You're under attack. Amen. You're in the crosshairs of the enemy. Amen. He targets you day and night. While you're there sleeping away, come on, somebody, and you wake up and roll out of bed and you decide to, you know, to be lackadaisical instead of picking up your Bible violently, come on, and studying your word violently and praying violently and implementing those spiritual disciplines in your life. Honey, you got to be violent. It don't just happen. I'll tell you what just happens, though. Watching TV all night happens. It happens real easy for me. I don't even fall asleep. Wow. But if I got to watch a message for half an hour, big fight. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Man, I could sit down and read trash for hours. Give me my Bible for 5 minutes and see what happens. I always tell people, oh, Pastor, I'm having trouble sleeping. Go and read your Bible. Don't take no pills. Don't drink no milk. Don't count no sheep. Go and read your Bible and the devil will help you get to sleep. That's the only time he'll be helpful to you. Yeah? Come on, you could go home. You could watch TV all day, all night. You can watch football. You can sit down and watch politics. You come to church for just 2 hours, man. You sit down for 10 minutes and... Church houses turn, people are turning into wimps, man. That's why I said, man, get down the front. Get down the front, because back there, when you're back and right at the back, it's easier to get down there and lullaby you asleep. Get up and stand up. Don't stand against the wall and pretend to be an usher. Hey, the violent take it by force. Whatever it takes to get what God has for you so you don't miss out. Whatever it takes. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that's what we was like out there, wherever it took. And I'm still like that. I'm wicked, you know. I am. The guys say, man, when I want something. We was doing some deals the other day, a couple of guys and Chris and Carl, and nah, that ain't going to happen. Because listen, man, I know what I want. When we go into that meeting, we're going to get what we want and come out of there what we want. Isn't that right? And they're like, yeah. Then we go in that meeting, we come out what we want, and they're going, oh, you're bad. Go after what you want, man, but it takes violence. It takes energy. It takes power. It takes implementation. It takes application. It don't just happen. The devil's not just going to lay down and say, here, have your life back. Here, have your sanity back. Here, have your healing back. Here, have your wholeness back. Here, have your family back. Here, have your destiny back. Here, have your future back. Here, have your church back. Here, have your sanity back. Here, have your job back. Here, have your... No! You've got to take it. You've got to find that root within yourself. Seize it. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, he says, there's just two more. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns, he says. These are the ones who hear the word. Everybody's hearing the word. Everybody's hearing the word. How do you even know? Nobody's missing out on the word. But it's what we do with the word, eh? He says, these are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in, choke the word. Choke the word. Choke the destiny. Choke the future. Choke the choke what can take place. Choke the potential. Cut it off. Wow. How many know we need focus? Focus. Linton's always, Brother Linton in my house, he's always Pastor, yeah. Too much traffic. I've been on sometimes we've got too much traffic going on. Got too much stuff in our lives. Amen. Sometimes he cuts out. I don't see him for 3 days. I think he's moved out or he's backslid or something. I go, where's Linton? He's in his room with his Bible. Resting, sleeping, praying. Oh, there you are. Where you been? Too much traffic, Pastor. Too much traffic. You know, sometimes I got cut out. Too much traffic. You ever seen them guys that stand in the middle of the street? And yeah, when, especially when the lights are out. Some of us are like, we're like six crossroads. We've got traffic coming from all ends. And the one road we're supposed to be traveling down, the one thing we need to be doing, it's just getting choked because we've got too much going on. Woo! We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're still following that series and that series, and we're doing that. We're over there. We're everywhere. And we ain't getting nowhere. There's unfruitfulness taking place in our lives. May God, in Jesus' name, give us the strength and the grace to cut things out and to cut things off. Oh, praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, this one thing I do. Wow. Jesus said, if anyone would dare come after me, they must first pick up their cross and deny themselves. That denial means, in other words, if you want to come after me, if you want to accomplish and fulfill the destiny of your life and what you're supposed to do and accomplish, you need to identify everything that you do that does not feed into your ultimate purpose and deny it. If a book you're reading does not match where you're going, deny it. If a program you're watching does not help you get to where you're supposed to get to, oh, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. It's real quiet here now. Deny it. Virtually any endeavor that does not feed in to what you're supposed to be or become must be denied access into your life. Well, I just preached. I'm not going to elaborate that one. I don't even have a song up for that one, I think. Anyway, praise the Lord. It may come to me. Hallelujah. Lastly, verse 20. But these, the musicians can come, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Yeah, just you, Shannon. We're just going to pray. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Somebody said good ground. I think the King James Version says noble ground. Noble. It's a nice word, isn't it? Noble. Those who hear the word, everybody's hearing the word. Anybody not hearing the word? Who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Wow. Some could listen to what's going on today and get a 30-fold result. Somebody else will get 60. You think, wow, they get 60. And somebody else will get 100. How about it all depends on the condition of your soil. How it is fertilized. How it is, what's the word? Not regulated. Somebody help me out. Plowed. That's not the word I want, though. How it is broken up, cultivated, irrigated. He cut her off. That's it. Yeah. Thank you. Somebody gave me the step to get there. Huh? Yeah, cultivated, irrigated. Come on, somebody. I got there. Some will get 30. Some will get 60. Some will get 100 times. Noble, good soil. How many people know we all come with some hard soil, tough terrain? How can you go from being that to allowing God's word and God's promise? Because there's some of this man could hang around church for decades hearing the words, but never seeing the fruit of the word. And you're wondering why. How come they got a 30-fold result? And they got a 60 and they got a 100. How come? It's the condition of the soil. It's got to be broken up. Man, if you got hard earth, stony heart, tough your heart. How do you know that ground has to be broken up? How does God break up your ground so that He can bless you with His word, so that His word is effective and not null and void in your life? Yeah, it accomplishes the thing that it was sent. It gets to where it's going to get to, but how people treat it is different. Otherwise, everybody would be blessed. As God's word, the Bible says, go forth, it accomplishes the very thing for which it has been sent. It gets sent, and it gets to where it needs to get to because everybody hears, but not everyone will benefit from what they have heard. Well, first thing first, this is one of the keys to getting to seeing the things that God wants to see take place in your life. You gotta break up your ground for one. How do you break up your ground? Well, how does a soil or a heart get hard? Disobedience. You don't hear. You're not listening. Come on. You know what our parents used to say, some of us? Hard ears, you won't hear. Then you're gonna feel. I'm tired of feeling. I think I wanna hear. So obedience. You gotta begin to listen for God. Listen for that still voice. Obedience. God tells you forgive. If God tells you to go and say a kind word, do it. Don't differ and decide and choose whether that person is worthy of you being a blessing to them. If God tells you to give, guess what? Give. Do it. If he tells you, there's a reason why he's giving you directions. He's breaking up your ground of your heart. Because if he don't give us things to do, being obedient is like plowing. It's plowing the ground of our heart. Obedience. It plows, it breaks us up. I remember when I was in the recovery home, man. Jeez, I hated it. And I was going, what's going on, man? They tell me when to rise, when to sit down, when to say yay, when to say nay. Then I realized God was breaking me up. Breaking up my heart because it was hard. I never know a heart, the ground needs moisture too. It needs irrigation. That's it. It needs moisture. It needs to be made sensitive. You've got to keep yourself in a sensitive environment. Not one that will desensitize you. Not one that will not help to cultivate and break down the outer husk of that seed, allowing the embryo inside to burst forth and put down roots and begin to grow and mature and be fruitful. Environments. That's how some are able to get 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Nice and simple. Go ahead and stand.